Hour Sleepover, a laid-back exploration of the captivating and sometimes ridiculous galaxy far, far away. I'm Europa Tokani, and as always, I am here with my co-host.
Hi, I'm Loya Rowan, and today we're delving into the character of Ben Solo, one of the most fascinating and tragic elements of the sequel trilogy and all of Star Wars. Let's do this.
It's time again for Cantina Corner. Every episode, Loya and I are each choosing a Star Wars-themed cocktail to enjoy during our sleepover. And today, because we're going to be talking about Ben Solo and the Rise of Kylo Ren in particular, I chose the Kylo Rentini from Pop Sugar. So this was a recipe that originally included red wine, Amaro Lucano, tonic, and simple syrup. However, I usually send my husband out to the liquor store to get ingredients for my cocktails, and apparently he asked about Amaro Lucano, and they did not have any, but offered him Caballero, which is a Spanish liqueur that I had never heard of.
No.
And I think they were like trying to get rid of it because they gave it to him for half price. However, it sounds somewhat similar. So Amaro Lucano is like a bitter liqueur that involves fruit and maybe like an almond flavor and herbs. I did see that a substitute for it could be Jägermeister, which I don't ever want to drink. And we've already discussed that on this podcast.
It keeps coming back.
So I went with the Caballero, which is basically a brandy that's infused with fruit and spices. So I think it's fair to use the Caballero. And then, again, the red wine, tonic, and simple syrup. And the red wine that I used is a local red wine blend. So I'll post the picture on Instagram that I took. It kind of became like a sangria, which I don't know if that was exactly the intent, but it did say to garnish it with some citrus fruit. So I did that and put it over ice. So I think it may be kind of almost like a autumn sangria type of thing, which is fitting because it is autumn. So I think it'll be good, but let me go ahead and try it. It is. I'm not going to lie, it basically tastes like sangria. I think a lot of sangria recipes involve brandy, so it's like not much different, except it does have a little bit of tonic in it, so it has like a little bit of that tonic flavor and bite, but it's good, and red wine is my drink of choice. It's what I drink most of the time, so I nice. Like it.
Cool. Yeah, so I picked Vader, just Vader, the recipe I found on A Year of Cocktails, which is a website by The Cocktail Lady, and she created Vader and Skywalker as opposite drinks, and the Vader includes vodka, peach schnapps, lime juice, and grenadine, and that seemed like a lot of grenadine to me, especially with the peach schnapps, so I did not use that much, and also I didn't have that really cool, like, Tall Collins's glass. Tall bud vase is how she describes it. So mine's just in a champagne flute. So let me give it a shot. Wow, that's really peachy.
Peach is an interesting choice for Vader.
Agreed, right? Like, you don't think of him as peachy. It's very sweet.
Also strange for Vader.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, it's red.
I mean, I get that, like, it being red, like his lightsaber, but maybe they didn't, maybe their thought process didn't go beyond that.
Yeah, or they just really like sweet drinks. I haven't actually taken a look at the other recipes on here, but the Skywalker is coconut rum, vodka, melon liqueur, and pineapple juice, so I feel like maybe that's the way they swing.
Yeah.
And it's drinkable. It does make me feel like there's, like, you can't really taste the vodka at all, which, I mean, obviously vodka doesn't really have a flavor. So given the amount of port in here, this could be quite dangerous if you drink a lot of these. Not that I would want to drink a lot of these.
Right.
It's fine. It's fine. I just don't really like sweet drinks. I'm not.
Yeah.
It's perfectly good.
Same Most for me. Like I was going to say, I also wouldn't be able to drink more than one of those. And I'd probably struggle to drink one. I can't do sweet drinks, really.
Yeah. I'm very glad, like, I put a lot more lime juice and less grenadine than the recipe called for. So it's kind of, yeah, it strikes a better balance, but still, off going.
Looking up Amaro Lucano, too, made me want to get Chinar. So I'll have to do that at some point.
The Chinar is going very well. I do like that a lot. I like the scotch and the Chinar combo with a little bit of salt is, like, fantastic. Ever since I made that force choke, we've been, like, regularly discussing, Darth Brooks and I, about, like, keeping scotch in our house, like, permanently. Because we're going to like it. So.
See, I feel the same now about rye. So I talked to you about how I did a virtual bourbon tasting last week. And I don't think I had ever had rye before. Unless I had had it in a mixed drink.
Yes.
At some point. But again, I sent my husband to get the bourbon for this tasting. And he got a high rye bourbon. And it was so good. Like, I tasted it in the tasting. I was like, this is amazing. And then I made a bourbon sour with it. And it was so good. But I also would just drink it on its own. Like, I was like, I don't know how I've never discovered rye before now, but I feel like it's also something that I just want to keep in my house all the time now.
Excellent. This is, so I'm planning on going to liquor store tomorrow, and I'm like, okay, gotta make sure we get scotch, rye, and then whatever else I decide for our last cocktail of the season.
Yeah, I think I know what I'm gonna do, and it does not involve rye, but there's always season two. Okay, well, I think we're ready to get into our topic, so cheers.
Cheers. And now it is time for the Mouse Droid segment. So, first of all, Clone Wars, we both finished it, right?
Yes.
What did you think of the final episode? Spoilers. Sorry, guys, spoilers.
I liked it. I was impressed by the last four episodes, I think, where they got really cinematic and they had a special opening and everything, and I knew that it was going to be intense. I thought they wrapped it up nicely, and those episodes had a nice weight to them, and the last scene of the last episode was very impactful.
So good. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I'm very excited to watch Rebels, and I want Ahsoka and Anakin to, like, interact some more. Also, I thought Ahsoka was gonna die. Does she die later?
I'm gonna say no. I think that there might have been some sort of event where it was questionable, but I don't know that for sure. However, she is definitely in Rebels.
Okay. Yeah. So I did not realize that. I honestly was, like, waiting for her to die, but it's great that she didn't. I love Ahsoka. Yeah. I want to get a poster of her.
So I can definitely say that I am an Ahsoka fan now. I really liked watching her in Clone Wars and seeing her progression. And she's such a good character and really just, I don't know what else to say. Like, she is kind of like the moral center of that show. And I'm excited to see what she does after this. And I don't know. Like, I just feel like I was so proud of her for being strong enough to leave the Jedi Order and be on her own and just keep doing what she thought was right.
Yes, completely. And even seeing with someone who, like, you know, when she meets up with, when Rafa and Tracer, like, you know, Rafa's giving her a hard time and stuff, and, like, she stays with them despite the fact that, like, you know, a case could be made, she's making their lives more difficult, but it's still the right thing to do. And what did you think of the opium dens for the Pikes?
So I generally just really like the Pikes. Like, I just think they're really cool and interesting.
It's so, yeah. So I was thinking of Solo. Like, I kind of want to rewatch that, like, very traumatizing scene, because I just sit there and I try to make sense of their heads so often. I'm like, are they wearing helmets?
I honestly still don't know, but I just appreciate how weird and unique it is.
Yes. Yes. I'm like, how erratic. Like, I was just like, you're smoking your own spice. You can't do that. Like, you know, that's not the way to run a syndicate. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, I'm interested in opium dens. So just a casual interest.
So I'll give my overall assessment of Clone Wars.
Yes.
I don't think it's changed since we last kind of checked in. I think Clone Wars has some amazing moments and some things that I'm really glad that I got to see. but they were definitely moments and kind of pockets here and there for me personally. It's still not my favorite thing. I'm glad I watched it. There are episodes that I skipped that I should probably go back and watch at some point, but I'm not going to go back and revisit it all the time. Like, I'm glad to have the context. I'm definitely glad to have met Ahsoka, and I'm glad that her adventures continue. But yeah, a lot of it was just still kind of difficult for me to get into.
Yeah. Mine is kind of like the inverse of that, I guess. So there's still like pockets that are very like difficult for me to process, and not maybe not so much process, enjoy. That's the word I'm looking for. And I probably won't go back and rewatch it anytime soon, but except for the episodes with Cad Bane, those are just going to be periodic events. But I did feel like overall I liked it way more than I thought I would, and probably would rewatch not only the Cad Bane episodes, but maybe some of the others like at a later time in the somewhat distant future.
So I think are looking forward to watching Rebels. Yes. I don't know exactly when we'll take that up, but definitely in our plans, and maybe we'll get to that in season two.
Yeah, I was thinking that would be great. And then the other thing I had from Mouse Droid segment is I finally purchased the last volume, or the most recent volume, of the Darth Vader comic. And oh, I read it. I know. I deliberately didn't tell you because I was going to start like talking about my entire reaction to it. And Sabe doesn't die.
No.
Spoilers continue.
She's still out there.
Yeah. I was so happy about that. Again, I just think people are going to die frequently. And so, you know, I was mentally preparing myself that this was the episode, or this was the issue where Sabe was going to die, and she doesn't. And yeah, it was pleasing in that respect, and still so good.
Yeah, I also thoroughly enjoyed that issue. It's on a little bit of a pause now. I'm not sure when the next issue is coming out, but I don't think it's all that soon. Like, it might be December. Because okay. They're kind of moving into a new arc now that's going to be focused on, obviously, like, the same overall story, but not necessarily his interaction with the Amidalans. And I'm eagerly awaiting it. I just love that comic. Like, it is no exaggeration to say that it has literally been, like, one of the bright spots for me over the past few months. And every time a new issue comes out, I'm just so happy. And I just, like, can't celebrate and commend Greg Pak enough for making it such a compelling story with so many links to the prequel series that are so satisfying and like tie things together in a way that you never thought they would be, and just explore where Vader is at that point and kind of his coming to terms with having a son and everything that happened with Padme. And it's just so good, and I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Seconded. Yep. I really enjoy it as well. So I'm sad it's taking a break.
So the last thing I wanted to just mention before we dive into our main topic is that we both read Last Shot by Daniel Jose Alder before this episode, so we could talk about the portrayal of Ben Solo in that book. And I went into it with pretty much no expectations. Like, I had heard mention of it before. I got more interested in it after we did our Lando and L3 episode, because I knew that it involved L3. And literally after reading like the first chapter, I was hooked and I was just so in. And I know you were too.
Oh, yeah. It was so much fun. The dialogue was so snappy. I felt like he understood the characters. Like, it was just a really enjoyable read. And I actually wanted to highlight one thing, because, like, there's this part at the, like, near the end where they're talking about, like, cutting someone in two. And they actually, here, I'm going to find it. So you should continue talking, because I just love this line.
So, yeah, I felt the same. I thought that he just characterized Han and Lando so perfectly, and Leia, too. And getting to see them all interact. Yes! I know I know it was still, like, not the best of times because they were going to investigate a pretty major issue and there was still a lot going on, but, like, just getting to see them have banter back and forth and, like, have a good time together and see what things were like before the First Order was just so refreshing and fun, and I just loved that glimpse into that period in time.
Yes. Yep, and I felt like he made references to things, and it was just, like, perfect. So, one of those things is, so they're into the book, and they had found a pilot, Taka, and Taka starts saying, you know, Taka said, the thing about cutting people in half is that it doesn't always, and then with another burst from the cannons, this person's head and torso explode into nothing. Take, Taka finished. Okay, that ought to do it. And I just loved that reference to, like, just the fact that Darth Maul gets cut in half, bisected, and he still comes back. And then the other part that I really enjoyed was they meet a Gungan. I don't know if you remember this. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And Han's just like, I'll handle this. He stepped up to the desk and waved, flashing a goofy smile. Greetings, Misa! Aro held up a hand. Let me just stop you right there, buddy. What's happening? I'm saving you the trouble of further embarrassing yourself with all the Misa, Misa, Bantha, Poodoo. Just don't. But how many Gungans have you met? Like, Hanster counting his fingers. I mean, actually spoken to. About 7. Okay, so we'll round down to 1. I just love that. I love the fact that this Gungan's just like, mm-mm, nope. We're not doing the Misa, Misa stuff. Like, it was fantastic.
Yeah, loved the writing style. It was hilarious to me. Mm-hmm. It was, again, just, like, refreshing and such a fun read. So I would recommend that book as well.
Yes, yes. And we'll have a link to it on our website in case you want to find it.
Well, let's move on to our main topic for the episode. And I just want to give a disclaimer before we start. Ben Solo is a huge topic, and I feel like we can only really scratch the surface in this episode. So our intent for this particular episode is going to be to provide a history and a backstory and talk about Ben's early life, and then also talk about what shaped him and how the Kylo Ren persona came to be. And we're going to keep it really to broad strokes. So Rise of Kylo Ren by Chris Soule is going to be our main text that we're going to be looking at. And then we'll also talk about some details that are revealed in the Aftermath trilogy, as well as Last Shot and Bloodline by Claudia Gray. So we're not going to get into the movies, really, and we're not going to get into his relationship with Rey. And this is because our next episode, which is the final episode of this season, is going to be about Ben and Rey. So we're staying away from that, and we're not going to get into, again, kind of the time after the rise of Kylo Ren, although obviously all of that is very critical to his path going forward and his redemption. And I think we're actually going to do a whole episode in the future about kind of his redemption arc, because there's just so much and it's way too much for one episode. So we're going to keep it to those parameters, and then we will definitely be back in the future with more Ben Solo content.
Yes.
Okay, so to start off, I thought we would just kind of recap a little bit about Ben's birth and his early life. So we discussed in our Leia and Han episode that they got married really soon after the Battle of Endor. It's implied that it was, like, pretty much immediately afterward, which I can't blame them. It's a life-changing event. Like, you just want to be happy. So I get it. And then apparently Leia conceived Ben very quickly, like, months later, because Ben was born the day that the Empire officially surrendered to the New Republic in 5 ABY.
And there's a reference to, like, how quickly she conceived in Bloodline, where it's just like, you know, Leia was like, something about, like, some of those activities led to Ben's, like, conception months later. Like, she and Han went on a run together, like, some sort of activity, like, just the two of them.
So. I thought you meant a literal run. Like, they went for a run.
This is like when I said mother because I couldn't remember Mother Talzin's name. Mother. It's a run. I don't know what kind of run. Some sort of ship run. I'll look it up.
And again, mother just makes me think of Karen Penn. So
I know.
Not a good association.
I will find this. Here we go. Sublight. It was a sublight run. She was thinking of a sublight run they'd undertaken together earlier in their marriage, which had begun with a great deal of bickering. However, all of that time alone, with no one to interrupt them, had eventually led to much more enjoyable pursuits. Given the timing, she was fairly sure some of those pursuits had directly led some months later to Ben's birth. So that was in Bloodline. So yeah, it seemed like they were just alone and having fun, and yeah.
So then there is mention of Leia's pregnancy in the Aftermath trilogy by Chuck Wendig. And I pulled a quote from those about Leia's experience of Ben in the womb. While he was still in his mother's womb, Organa could feel him through the Force. She likened him to a living band of light that occasionally dimmed and was sometimes thrust through with a vein of darkness. And she also mentions that she feels someone watching Ben in the womb. And in the Aftermath first novel, she speaks to, or I don't know if it's the first actually, in one of the Aftermath novels, she speaks to Luke because she's concerned. Mm-hmm. And he tells her, the brighter the light, the darker the shadow. So it's apparent even while she's pregnant that there's something weird going on and something concerning happening. Wait, I do know.
Can we just say that Luke's comment is just like very unhelpful?
True.
I'm just reading that. I'm like, if I was a mother who's concerned about her unborn child and I go to my brother and he says, the brighter the light, the darker the shadow. Like, what does that even mean? But anyways, yes, continue.
So also in Aftermath, there is a mention of Leia really realizing Ben's Force abilities because he throws a toy across the room with the Force. And I'm just going to throw out like some random facts because this is really all we have. But I wanted to point out as well that according to the Star Wars databank, Han chose Ben's name, which is interesting.
That is.
I would have assumed that it would have been Leia since she was the one who really knew Obi-Wan. I mean, obviously Han did meet him and spend some time with him, but
it's like they were close.
Yeah. And then there is also mention, of course, that Ben liked playing with Han's lucky dice because you can't forget about the dice. And there are allusions to Ben actually wanting to be a pilot, like his dad.
Oh,
so
really?
There's nowhere where, as far as I know, where Ben is saying that he really wants to be a Jedi. So we'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. Yeah, that is worth noting.
And then I guess we can turn to Last Shot. So in Last Shot, Ben is about 2 years old. And this is really the place where we get some of Han's thoughts and feelings about parenthood.
Which was devastating way too often. It was just really sad. I actually had multiple conversations about this with Darth Brooks because he obviously has not read Last Shot. And he was just like, well, I mean, obviously they're bad parents. And I'm just like, no, Han's thing was like, he was fine. Like, he was obviously taking care of Ben. There are multiple scenes where, like, he is, you know, talking about when he watches Ben, and then, like, Ben cries, and, like, he doesn't know what to do, and so then Ben cries again when he leaves and everything. But, like, Ben's two. It's what two-year-olds do, man. Like, I feel like Han was giving himself issues, and it did seem like at the end of Last Shot, he kind of came to that resolution, but initially, it was just so sad, because I felt like it was a self-fulfilling prophecy that, like, he felt like he was a bad dad, and then he was being a bad dad because he was trying to avoid being a bad dad.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. I know he has a conversation with Leia at some point, and she's just like, you didn't have a dad. Of course, you feel like you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
But like you said, essentially, he is doing it. Like, he is being a father to Ben. He's taking care of him. He's doing it. He's maybe figuring out how to do it as he goes along. But
that's what all parents do, though.
Exactly. Like, he just feels that he's not good enough. And I feel like he just has, like, this complex about it where he thinks he doesn't know what he's doing and therefore he's a bad parent. And then he feels like he doesn't even want to try and he doesn't want to be there because he's going to fail if he tries.
Well, and then you have Leia, who's just been supportive the entire time. And, like, she's so good. Like, you know, she's there for him, but then he feels guilty because she's there for him. And it's just like this like dreadful spiral. I just want to be like, Han, buddy, go find a therapist, talk things out, do some meditation, and get out of your own head.
Yeah, like, he's totally in his own head.
Yes.
So I marked a few quotes, and let me just read a few of these. So this was towards the beginning of the book, and this is Han thinking about himself as a father. So 2 years in, and no matter what, nothing he did was right. He brought Ben a play blaster from Burndang, and he was encouraging his violent side. Took it away, and the boy wouldn't stop crying. He tried to replace it with a Build Space Center set, and there were too many small pieces Ben could choke on. The worst part was, it wasn't like Leia was just nagging or inventing stuff to one-up Han. She was right about all of it. So he couldn't even properly resent her for it. Every time she pointed out some potentially unhealthy or obviously lethal thing Han was doing, it was like, of course, it was right there in front of him all along. But then immediately after that, it's Leia saying, it's okay. You didn't exactly have any good models of fatherhood growing up. And she says, it takes time.
Yes.
And then Han responds to that as, but that had been a whole year ago. And Han still had no idea what he was doing with no sign of improvement.
Yeah. Like, Ben is two. Of course he's going to be crying. Of course he's going to be, like, having hissy fits. He's 2 years old. Like, I feel like Han is setting himself up for failure. And he is. He is setting himself up for failure. And I just want to sit him down and just be like, it is okay. It's okay. All of this is okay.
Like, it's okay to not completely know what you're doing. Because, again, you are doing it.
Yes. I always thought about this, like, you know, starting in middle school, it's just like, whenever I was very frustrated with my parents, like, I was like, this is their first time having an eighth grader. This is their first time having a teenager. This is their first time going through this. Like,
that is extremely mature.
Because, like,
I've definitely never looked at my parents and was like, it's okay. This is their first time going through this because I'm the oldest child. Which I am, and you are as well. But that definitely never crossed my mind.
Yeah, for some reason, it was just, like, very helpful. It was a way to, like, contextualize, like, when my mom and I weren't getting along. It was because, like, she had never been a parent to a teenager before, and I obviously had never been a teenager before. So, yeah.
But yeah, Han just keeps thinking that, like, he needs to learn how to be a dad. And I have this other quote. If he was being honest with himself, Ben might be better off without him. At least until he could get it together and learn how to be a father for real, not just some reckless man-child who happened to have a kid. He wouldn't tell Leia that, though. That would just set up a whole other fight. Keep it simple. Keep it straightforward. That was the ticket. Like, he has such a low view of himself.
Yeah.
Like, low self-esteem.
Yes. Yes. This also led to multiple conversations about, like, how mental health and, like, therapy and everything is. It doesn't seem to be a thing in Star Wars, like, in part because there's a war on and no one's got time for that, I'm assuming. But, like, I just want to sit down and imagine, talk this out with someone. You need an objective person. But even Leia just seems to be, like, so sympathetic. I know that's not quite the same, but, like, she's giving him a lot of space and, like, encouraging him to go through it, and like that doesn't seem to be helping.
Yeah, and then he even like feels bad that he wants space.
Yeah,
and he's like, well, I just keep running off, and I'm just gonna keep running off. And then at the end of the book, he and Leia have a conversation where he brings that up, and she's like, I get it.
Yeah,
if you need to do that, like, that's fine, just come back.
Yep.
So that makes me even more upset about them eventually breaking up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was rewatching the movies, like, kind of with that framework in mind, and it made it even worse, because he wasn't that bad of a dad. Like, he just wasn't. He was trying, like, and I just wanted Ben to, like, understand that, too, where it's just, like, this is your parents' first time going through this. Like, I don't know how old you are. We will talk about that in a second. I don't know how old you are, but, like, you know, part of his inability to let the past die is also this inability to, like, forgive his parents for, like, being kind of shitty sometimes.
But at the same time, at this point in time, like, Ben is two.
Yes.
Do they make some decisions in this book that aren't great? Yes, and we will get to those. Like, they're clearly caring for him. Like, the first scene in the book is Han, like, sleeping in bed with Ben, like, snuggling him.
Yeah.
which also is a hilarious scene because it's Mon Mothma trying to call Leia.
Oh my god.
The Mothman, like, shirtless in bed being like, what is happening?
That was so funny.
But in any case, like, he was taking care of Ben and, like, having this sweet moment with him. And Ben clearly loves him and loves being around him. But he just constantly thinks that he's messing up when he isn't.
Yeah. Which actually is the perfect groundwork for the rest of this episode. Because I feel like that is also very, very, very much Ben's issue. Where it's just, like, he has this view of himself. And even though that's not necessarily accurate, it's hard for him to let it go.
Very true. Like, he's just so convinced of it, just like Han is so convinced that he's a bad father.
Yeah.
That, like you said, he can't let it go, and no matter what anyone says to him, or the reassurances that other people give him that that's not the case, he's like, no, 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 like, I know that that's the truth.
Yeah.
Which, again, something that therapy helps with.
Exactly. Exactly. Just thinking of all the benefits that could have happened to this universe if there had only been someone on hand to, like, talk things out.
All right, so before we move on from Last Shot, like I said, I don't think everything that Han and Leia are doing is great. And the prime example of that is that, so Han goes off with Lando on this mission. And then obviously Leia has her obligations with the Senate. And apparently they just left a 2-year-old alone in their apartment with droids.
Not just any droids. Coffee-making droids. Like, this is the primary function. It's a culinary arts droid, BX. And also, I wanted to ask your thoughts about this. So, yeah, they leave him alone with this droid. And the droid is, like, very acutely aware that he is not a child-carrying droid.
Even the droid is like, this isn't a great idea.
Yes!
I normally make coffee, so...
And that was all well and good, but left BX with a house full of random tasks to attend to, most of which he was not remotely equipped for. Childcare was definitely one of those tasks. Number one on the list, in fact. But I had a question about that. So, yeah, I would not endorse leaving your child alone with a droid, necessarily. But do you think Ben... So the droid goes crazy, because the whole premise of this book is that there's a technology that, like, causes droid stress, and BX, while taking care of Ben, succumbs to this. But then right before he's about to, like, dismember Ben, he stops. Do you think that was Ben, or do you think that was just, like, when Lando, you know, disrupted the activator?
Yeah, I don't think it was Ben. At least, I don't know, that thought didn't cross my mind. I thought it was just because that was disabled.
Okay. I was wondering, because, like, the world flashed into pale emptiness, bright light pouring in from everywhere, and I wasn't sure.
That was my impression, at least, was that it was because of that and not because of anything that Ben was doing.
Okay. Because I was like, that would be very, I initially read that as, like, Ben using the Force to protect himself, but it does seem more likely that that's not the case. It's just ambiguous enough that, like, you know, maybe it's not that ambiguous. Maybe it's just me trying to finish the book really fast.
So yeah. On that note, another point that's really horrible parenting as well is that they made the decision not to tell him that Vader was his grandfather.
Yeah. Maybe just having more conversations in general, talking things out.
So Ben was completely unaware of that for his entire life up until the age of around 23, which is around the age that the episode in the temple with Luke occurred. And
wait, he's 23 in that?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, in The Rise of Kylo Ren, like, he does look older. Not that old, but older than he does in the movies. But in the movies, he does not look 23.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they, like, told... Well, you would think that they would know roughly what the timeline was.
Right?
I mean, it is Adam Driver. It's just Adam Driver in, like, a nightshirt.
Yeah, and, like... very young looking. Like, he looked like he was, like, 16 or 17. I feel like also calling someone a boy at 23 is, like, you know, you're not that old, Luke.
Well, I mean, I guess that could be explained by the fact that, like, it's his nephew.
Yeah.
But in any case, Bloodline happens, I think, pretty close to the temple incident, like, pretty shortly before. And okay. He finds out about Vader at that point through the events in Bloodline, which the premise of that book is Leia serving as a senator and a big plot point is her political rivals revealing the fact that she is Vader's daughter to discredit her.
I need to finish that.
It's a really good book. But yeah, so like the majority of the galaxy didn't know about that, which I guess I had assumed that people did. I don't know why, but it was not the case. And they release this information to damage and discredit her. And there is a scene in the book where she makes a video to tell Ben before he finds out otherwise, but I don't know if it actually makes it to him. So he may, in fact, have found out that Vader was his grandfather through, like, the news or something.
So evocative of our earlier conversations. Turn on the news. You've been exposed. What? Yeah, that's crazy. Also, I mean, like, I can understand not telling him at, like, 8 or even 10. But, like, about the time that you would have the conversation, the talk, like, I feel like at that point, it's probably good to know that your grandfather was Darth Vader. Maybe yeah, they just never had the talk.
Yeah, I don't know. I get the feeling that Leia just kept putting it off. Like, she was like, I'll tell him someday. I have to tell him someday. And then just didn't.
Yeah. I also feel like the more I think about them giving Ben the talk, the more that never happened. Like, he's training to be a Jedi. They're not going to sit down.
Right. So, yeah, let's talk about that. So, they send Ben to train with Luke at age 10. And he's with Luke until age 23. So, he actually spends more time with Luke than he does with his parents.
Yeah.
And while I'm sure they're in contact, I don't get the impression that they saw each other super often. So, like, Luke really essentially was a surrogate parent.
I feel for Kylo Ren.
Before we talk about how Luke and Ben's relationship is depicted in The Rise of Kylo Ren, I just wanted to get your general thoughts, Loya, on the comic, because this was your first time reading it. I had read it back when it was originally released and reread it, but I just want to know what you thought of it overall.
Yeah, I was very impressed. Like, initially, like, when the first scene, I was, like, a little confused. I was like, what is happening? But then as, like, it progressed, like, it was very, it added so much depth to Kylo Ren as a character. And it's one of those, another one of those things where it's just, like, this is not something that's necessarily conveyed in the movies. And so it gives me, just makes me want more people to read more of the surrounding literature, because it just, it adds that extra information that, like, makes things more, makes sense, I guess. When I was talking to Darth Brooks about this, he's like, oh yeah, the Knights of Ren, they don't do anything, they just show up. And I'm like, no, 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 there's a backstory, let me tell you about it. And it's a compelling backstory, and it's so sad. So I love the fact that you got this for me for my birthday, because I would have been very disappointed. I had read the first one. I think the first one was on Marvel Unlimited, but not the subsequent issues. So I was glad to have this, like, compilation, and it did add so much more information, including, like, Luke being a father figure. That's not a great, he's not great in this.
So a few things. I agree. The books and the comics are awesome. And if you don't already read them, I definitely recommend getting into them. Just, like, choose an aspect of Star Wars that you particularly like, and there probably will be some supplementary material for it. And everything is, like, really quality, and I just love it. I will say, while I love The Rise of Kylo Ren and do think it added so much depth and background, it also is a little problematic that it was offered as a comic, because I don't think there are all that many people that go out and read the Star Wars comics.
No.
Unless you're, like, truly a diehard fan, you might not even be aware of it. So if you're just a person who is going to see Star Wars movies, you're probably not gonna do it. And, like, to go into The Rise of Skywalker not having any of that information, or not to get it afterward, you would have a completely different understanding of that character. And I've had conversations with people about it, and with my husband, even, where he, after Rise of Skywalker, he was like, Kylo Ren didn't deserve to be redeemed. Why should I care about him? Why should I want anything good for him? And I tried to explain, like, the entirety of the Rise of Kylo Ren to him and be like, no, but you don't understand. Like, we'll get into it. But, like, essentially, he, like, didn't do anything wrong up until a certain point that was his turning point. But, like, he just felt so cornered and felt like he was on this path that he couldn't reverse. And I was trying to explain to my husband, like, he doesn't enjoy doing any of these things. Like, he's not over here being the supreme leader, like, being like, this was my ultimate desire. Like, this is all I wanted for myself. Mm-hmm. I have the ultimate power now. Like, he's kind of just like, I don't know. Like, he's just going along and, like, letting this chain of events happen to him. And then every time something else happens, he's just like, well, this is how it is. Like, this is my path. I just have to keep going on this path. Like, it's almost like he has stopped having, like, any free will.
Yeah. His, like, reluctance to exert his own agency was a struggle. Because, yeah. I mean, like, you know, as we'll get into, he has a friend, Ty, who, like, points out multiple times, you don't have to do this. And yet he still somehow felt that he did. I think because, like, you know, it wasn't at no point did he was he like. I mean, obviously, because in part because they have to kind of lead to the movies, but at no point was he like, I am not going to do this. I am walking away now. I mean, I guess that's not strictly true because there is that part when, like, initially with the temple, he says, I'm leaving. I don't want to hurt you. But then he does follow that up with, but I will if I have to, sort of thing. I don't know. Yeah, I just want to tell him no, like, don't, like.
But I think a big part
stop
of it.
Stop listening to that damn voice.
Yeah. A big part of it, too, though, I think, is that he feels like if he does get off this path, he has nowhere else to go. Like, there's nothing else for him. He feels like he can't go back to his parents. Luke, yeah. He thinks he accidentally killed.
Yeah.
And, of course, he has Snoke telling him that this is the only way for him to be free of all these expectations that people have placed on him. And free to be his own person, which is completely the opposite, but, you know, this is what this voice that he's had in his head since he was a child is telling him, the only person that he feels like he can trust. And I think he just feels like he can never go back, and that's what drives a lot of his decisions.
Yeah, and then he can't, like, he makes decisions or, like, allows himself to be led a certain way, and then he can't go back, or feels he can't. I don't know, I still feel like, you know, obviously Han was still there for him even at the very end. So he definitely could have gone back and faced his actions. It's also a sharp contrast from Ahsoka, right? And from Anakin. Like, there's just this, like, generational, like, inability to, like, forge your own way.
Yeah. But he thinks what he's doing is forging his own way.
To the dark side. Like, that's a path that's well trod.
All right, well, let's get into his relationship with Luke. So, like I mentioned, he spends really, like, over half his life up until the point of The Force Awakens with Luke. And it was really interesting to see kind of his earlier interactions with Luke. And it's strange. So, Luke is obviously his Jedi master. And he calls him Master Luke. Like, it's not like he's going around calling him Uncle Luke.
Ugh, weird.
So they have that kind of relationship where Luke is an authority.
Mm-hmm.
And he also clearly kind of idolizes Luke early on in his life. So
yeah.
There's that whole scene where he's traveling with Luke and Lor San Tekka to go look for Jedi artifacts. And it makes me laugh every time because, like, Ben is clearly so bored. There's a scene of him sitting on their ship, and he's talking to Snoke telepathically, and Snoke's just like, what are you doing? He's like, well, you know, I'm with Luke and Lor San Tekka again, going to look for more Jedi artifacts, like, I don't know why they care about this. And
yep.
So they go to a Jedi temple to look for these artifacts, and that's where they first meet the Knights of Ren. And they're trying to steal something, and they get into an altercation with Luke. And I feel like this comic was really trying to give us, like, peak Jedi Master Luke, where the Knights of Ren are threatening him, and he's like, you don't know who you're dealing with. And they're like, whatever, whatever. And then he just, like, destroys them. Yep. Like, they were really trying to give us, like, a cool Luke lightsaber scene, I think. But before they actually fight, they are, like, taunting Luke. And Ben goes and stands in front of Luke and is like, you don't know who this is. This is Jedi Master Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was very, it was a good transition or a good insight from Luke in the original trilogy to Luke in The Last Jedi. Because there, I mean, like, there's aspects of Luke in this where it's just like, this would be hard to deal with. And, like, for Ben to be so proud of him, like, it was a little, I don't know. Yeah, I guess getting into that hero worship issues we talked about with Rose and everything, like, kind of a reiteration of that where it's just like, worshiping your hero is not great. Like, the thing I keep thinking about is, like, before they even get to the temple, there's a comment that Luke makes about trying to convince Ben that, like, you know, these Jedi artifacts would be interesting. And he goes, maybe some interesting weapons, too. I know you like that sort of thing. And just, like, that came across as very contemptuous. Like,
yeah, he's
not taking Ben seriously. He's not, I don't know. And, like, his interactions with the Knights of Ren, too, are just kind of, like, it's this arrogance that, like, continues.
But that statement from Luke, too, goes back to this idea that Ben explicitly states later on that everyone has all these expectations for him. And Luke's expectation is that he's going to be a great Jedi, and he is, but he probably expects that, like, he's going to be totally committed to it all, and he's going to want to learn everything and be like Luke. And as I mentioned before, he apparently wanted to be a pilot, so nobody is really taking into account who Ben actually is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And Luke continues to struggle with that, like, even in the movies, right? Like, he's blaming himself. He's so hung up on himself that he's not still, like, acknowledging the fact that, like, one of the mistakes he made was not talking to Ben.
Okay, so before we talk a little bit more about Luke and Ben, I just wanted to point out as well, we mentioned earlier that he was having a telepathic conversation with Snoke. I wouldn't say he was 10, maybe 12, 13 at that point. Mm-hmm. Not that it's explicitly stated, but that's what I would guess. And from Wikipedia, this is taken from the Rise of Skywalker Jr. in adult novelizations. It stated that Ben heard a voice throughout his young life, and he believed it to be Snoke. He didn't tell Luke or his parents about the voice, and it terrified him, but also comforted and guided him. Again, probably at a time when he felt like no one else was understanding him.
Mm-hmm.
It provided warnings of danger and told him secrets, but also told him that he could not survive without the voice because he was weak. So when he turned to the dark side as Kylo Ren, the voice claimed that his family would never take him back. Near the end of his life, Solo would obviously recognize that voice, and others in his mind were actually Darth Sidious, Palpatine, who tormented Solo as he tormented Solo's grandfather. And I just wanted to mention here, there was a scene in Rise of Skywalker where Palpatine tells him this. Mm-hmm. He tells him, I have always been all the voices in your head.
Yeah.
Snoke, what he thought was Vader. Like, this scene, when I first saw it, when it was released before the movie came out, was amazing. I remember talking about it with you.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, like, I can't wait to see where this goes. This is so important. And then the scene in the movie was 2 seconds. It was exactly what we had seen. Ben did not react in any way. And this is a monumental revelation that he had been manipulated for all this time. And I do think that that realization drove his actions in that movie. But there was no time to sit with it, to see how he was dealing with it. And I think that's really unfortunate.
Yeah. And also, it does raise questions later when he, like, does he talk to Darth Vader's helmet again?
Right. That also makes no sense to me. Not to get off on a tangent, but he clearly thought that he was talking to Darth Vader, what he thought was his grandfather. And this was something that I had brought up for years, was that he's clearly not talking to him.
Yeah.
Because if he were talking to Anakin, Anakin would have been like, what are you doing? Like, clearly, you should not be doing this. Learn from my mistakes. You don't want to be on this path. Anakin would not have endorsed anything that he was doing. So it was clear to me that he was not really talking to Anakin.
Right.
But then the question was, who was it? Now we know that it was Palpatine. But I just hate that that was just left there with nothing else.
Yep. Exactly. Like, this should have been, I mean, and maybe someone will write a comic about, like, or maybe as the Rise of Kylo Ren continues, I believe it's still ongoing, right, as a series.
No, it's done. That's
it's
it.
It's done? Yeah. Oh my god. Well, obviously they need to write, we need to continue making these comics, because I feel like even just a little bit of time, like a little bit of an insight into that period would make a lot more sense.
And I'm sorry, I realized that I got off track, but to come back to your point, in Rise of Skywalker, yeah, after he has this revelation that it was Palpatine all this time, there's this shot of him taking Darth Vader's melted helmet out and, like, putting his hand on it like he's trying to communicate with it. And I just, to this day, don't know what he's doing, because he clearly knows at this point that it wasn't him. So, like, is he trying to just, like, check and, like, make sure? Like, I don't get it.
I don't either. I do not either. So, yeah. One of the many things that we will probably be talking about in The Rise of Skywalker in general, like, these kind of issues will come up later, I'm sure.
So, Rise of Kylo Ren basically takes place in the aftermath of the incident that is seen in The Last Jedi, where Ben wakes up and Luke is standing over his bed with his lightsaber ignited. And I thought maybe we would just bring in some quotes from The Last Jedi about what happened from Luke's perspective. So Luke tells Rey in The Last Jedi, "I saw darkness. I sensed it."
Wait. Do we want to do a reading?
Oh, do you want to do a reading? We can do a reading.
Yes.
Who do you want to be, Luke or Rey?
I'll be Rey. Really bad British accent. Be prepared.
Okay. I don't have to do it. It's fine.
You're just so gruff.
"I saw darkness. I sensed it building in him. I'd seen it in moments during his training. But then I looked inside, and it was beyond what I ever imagined. Snoke had already turned his heart. He would bring destruction and pain and death and the end of everything I love because of what he will become. And for the briefest moment of pure instinct, I thought I could stop it. It passed like a fleeting shadow, and I was left with shame and with consequence. And the last thing I saw were the eyes of a frightened boy whose master had failed him."
"You failed him by thinking his choice was made. It wasn't. There's still conflict in him. If he would turn from the dark side, that could shift the tide. This could be how we win."
So this is really all we know of what was going on with, was that he saw this darkness in Ben, which was the influence of Snoke, and he was convinced in this moment that he had to stop it somehow. From Ben's perspective, which we also get in The Last Jedi, he woke up to see not only his Jedi Master, but his uncle threatening him, and reacted by, you know, trying to deflect him, but probably thought he was going to kill him, because why would someone be standing over your bed with an ignited lightsaber and use the Force to pull down the stones? And basically just fled after that, it's implied. So I didn't really process this prior to rereading Rise of Kylo Ren, but he tells the other Jedi that come back and see this destruction that Luke is dead. And it's not that he killed Luke, it's that I think Ben thinks that he's dead because he reacted in self-defense, and he just thinks Luke is, like, smothered.
Yeah, and he pulls it down on himself too, right? So there's a delay. Like, is it the temple, or is it his hut?
Or his hut?
Like his sleeping chamber?
I'm not sure. I'm actually not sleeping clear huts? On that, if it's, like, all in the same complex or building, or if it's separate.
Yeah, according to KOTOR, sleeping quarters were joint, and they were like, you know, you'd walk into one, you'd grab some treats, you'd walk into another, you'd break open a locker. So they were all within the temple. But, like, from this picture, I'm just looking, it seems like his sleeping quarters are, like, outside of the temple. There are no page numbers.
So that might be the case, but let me actually...
Because you have the book.
Yes. So let me... Okay, so So let's actually, like, just go back and give a little bit of context. So Rise of Kylo Ren really opens up with kind of the backstory of the Knights of Ren first. And then the first that you see of Ben is him standing outside. What is the temple? The temple is on fire. And there are some Jedi who are out on a mission. And they come back and see the temple on fire and don't know what's going on. And then they mention that they can't sense anyone, not even Luke. And then they see that Ben is standing there and ask him what happened. And he tells them that Luke tried to attack him and tried to kill him in his sleep, and that now he's dead. And
they just get very reactive.
Yeah. So they're like, you did it. And, well, I mean, it's except, again, for Ty. So there are three Jedi. There are Vo, Hennix, and Ty. Vo is the woman Jedi. Hennix is foreign, and then Ty is a human male. And it's clear throughout the course of this that Ty is particularly close to Ben, mm-hmm. and he is the one who is always kind of in contrast to the others, where the others are really reacting strongly. And at this point, when they first see what's going on at the temple, he tells Ben, it can't be as bad as what you're saying. And he tells them that he's leaving and that they should leave. And if they just let him leave, he doesn't want to hurt them. But mm-hmm. Vo and Hennix basically insist on fighting him.
Yeah. There's some very bad decision making in this, like, whole trio.
So let me get to what the other thing that I wanted to mention.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the panel. So he flies off. They follow. And then there's a memory or, like, a flashback. Yeah. And
so what I wanted to talk about was the flashback. So there's a flashback that we see when Ben has escaped and is flying off the planet. And he's talking again to Snoke. And Snoke says, Skywalker feared you, your strength. He was always small. And then Ben is flashing back to the moment when he woke up and saw Luke standing over him. And then it shows him, you know, deflecting the lightsaber blade and pulling down wherever he's sleeping. And then it shows him kind of in the rubble.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. It is a separate building. He's standing in the rubble of his sleeping hut, looking at the temple. And he's saying, why did you do it? And then the temple basically explodes. And I don't know, like, there's really no indication of why. So
I feel like it has to be Snoke or Palpatine.
Yeah, so it's implied, like, if you only saw the movies, I think Luke even says that he, like, slaughtered all the other Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
But from reading this, it's clear that he did not.
Yeah.
So what you see is, again, the temple exploding and lightning.
Yes.
So that would imply that it is Snoke or Palpatine.
Yeah, probably of the two, Palpatine.
I guess you could also make the argument that maybe it was Ben because he was, like, so emotional at that moment and so angry that he caused that accidentally. That could potentially be a possibility, but in no way did he intentionally murder all of his fellow students.
Yeah, he's not Anakin.
Right. He did not go in there with his lightsaber and strike them all down.
Exactly.
And again, that's something that, like, I feel like it's very important for you to know.
Yes. Yes. I completely agree. This is, like, an important insight into Ben. And, like, yeah, he didn't just go around killing younglings.
And he even tries to go run into the temple to save people. And then there's another explosion.
Yeah.
And he says, I didn't want this.
Yeah. Although, in all fairness, he says that a lot in this.
Right. So so then he goes, where he's going is to meet in one of the weirdest interactions that I have ever seen that honestly makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Snoke in that hat. I'm not entirely sure what they were trying to do with the hat.
So if you haven't read this, first of all, you should. And also, you probably shouldn't be listening to this episode. But if for some reason you are and you don't plan on reading it, please just Google, like, Snoke hat Rise of Kylo Ren. Because I don't even know how I can describe it. Like, it's almost like a like a newsboy cap.
I don't know. There's like a length to it too. I don't know why, because I mean, like, if he was outside, that would make sense, right? He's making sure his neck doesn't get sunburned, but he's obviously in this, like...
Right, he's in, like, this giant, like, solarium with all these weird plants.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's there.
I don't either. When I was watching The Rise of Skywalker to, like, jog my memory about the scene, set the stage for this podcast, I had forgotten the, like, Snoke heads floating in that, like... I don't know.
Tube.
Yeah, the tube. And I was just like, it just made me wonder how much agency Snoke had as like an entity.
That's another huge issue that we really can't get into in this episode. But later. Yeah, it's still unclear to me if Snoke
is Snoke?
Totally autonomous, if he's not, if it's Palpatine speaking through him. Like, I still don't know. But in any case,
so many questions.
Ben goes to see Snoke. And I don't know if this is their first meeting.
I think it is.
I think so, too.
Like, their first meeting face-to-face.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, again, it just makes me extremely uncomfortable. He goes to see Snoke. Snoke, like, embraces him.
Yeah.
And it just looks so uncomfortable and awkward because I don't know. I don't want to hug Snoke. And
we talked about anything that Snoke does in like a bodily sort of way. Just like, yeah.
And then apparently he told him that Luke did something to him because he says, Snoke, look what Master Luke did to you. And Snoke says, never mind that, my young Ben. Let us consider what he nearly did to you. So, I mean, obviously, like, he's just lying to Ben constantly, but I don't know if that's true. I don't think it is.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, I feel like it can't be true, right? Because the Snoke heads floating in the tube looked entirely the same, right? And, like, it's not like Luke was just, like, going around killing Snokes or, like, injuring Snokes. Maybe he was.
So, then as part of this exchange to... They talk about what Ben should do next, and he says that he wants to seek out the Knights of Ren.
Mm-hmm.
And Snoke is like, yes, I think that's a good idea. And then they talk about Ben's name.
Yeah, where did the Kylo come from?
So Snoke says to him, I don't know if the Knights of Ren will be interested in Jedi Ben Solo.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ben says, I hate that name. And Snoke asks, why is that? You are named after legends. And Ben's response is, that's exactly it, Snoke. Obi-Wan Kenobi, big famous Jedi. Everyone thinks I'm supposed to be him. I never even met him. And Solo, did you know that's not even his real name? He's a lie. Everything is a lie.
So much judgment.
Yeah. Then they talk about what his true name should be. And I guess Ben thinks Kylo Ren to himself. And Snoke says, oh yes, I see it in your mind. That is good, very good. And Ben responds, no, it's stupid. Something I thought of when I was a child.
So where do you get Kylo?
I don't know where he got it from, but this again is just like very upsetting to me that as a child he created this other persona for himself already.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't feel like he could be who everyone wanted him to be. And this was, like, his escape from all the expectations. I don't know where Kylo specifically came from, but, like, he just has felt this need to be someone other than himself for so long.
Man, that is. Wow. Wow.
All right, so I'm just, like, flipping pages now. Trying to get to the next spot here.
Again, I just want him to talk to someone, like...
So he goes back to the temple... where he and Luke originally met the Knights of Ren. Yeah. And there's the helmet from Ren, who is the leader, that is still in the temple, and he picks it up and then has, like, a telepathic conversation with him.
I wonder if it's, like, just a transmitter.
But he has a new one, obviously.
Yeah.
Because he meets him, he has the same helmet.
Yeah. I think he just, like, dropped it off as, like, a way to transmit. So, like, if Ben ever changed his mind, he could come back to this place and, like... touch base.
So
apparently they never changed their frequencies.
I guess not. So yeah, he just left it there for like, you know, another 10 years. Just in case.
Yeah.
So he finds the helmet, he puts it on, and then he hears Ren saying, hey kid, was wondering if we'd ever hear from you again. just also like Ren kind of kills me because he's just so like nonchalant. He's like, yeah, Snoke said you should find us. All right, come to this planet. We'll be there for a while.
Yeah, he kind of has a Han Solo-esque like vibe to him a little bit. It's just the like kid part, right? Having just read the last shot where Han calls Tak a kid like all the time. And just, yeah, maybe that explains why, at least partially explains why Ben kills him.
So he goes to find them. He decides to join them. And they tell him that he needs a good death. And he says, I've killed a Jedi. And they're like, oh. Really,
you're not full Jedi, though, right? They're still Padawans. Right?
No, I think they're Jedi.
Jeez. That makes it worse.
So
Jedi was like very poor judgment, I guess. Luke, what are you teaching these kids?
Yeah. Ren is like, oh yeah, Luke, Snoke said you would say that, but he has his doubts, and so do I.
And I think they take him on like a temporary basis. Because when do the other Jedi catch up with him? Like, he's still on probation, essentially, as a knight of Ren, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Is this like jumping back and forth in time, actually?
I don't think so. So, like, there's this part where, like, his fellow Jedi.
So, no, they actually, it is, because, so Ben goes to the temple and finds the helmet, and then the other Jedi show up before he goes and actually finds the Knights of Ren. Mm-hmm. And they're basically just going after him to, I don't know.
To stop him.
To stop him from doing whatever they think he's doing.
By three Jedi, students of Luke Skywalker. The other students came after me to kill me.
Yeah. So they go after him. And again, Vo and Hennix are just trying to attack him. Ty apparently is trying to just read his mind. And he's asking them, well, why did you have to follow me here?
Mm-hmm.
And they fight. He force pushes Vo and then realizes that he's going to kill her and tries to stop her from falling. And in trying to stop her from falling, Hennix also throws his lightsaber at him and he, I guess, deflects it. And basically, Hennix gets killed with his own lightsaber, although he saves Vo.
Yeah. I initially thought Vo was going to fall like Clone Wars. Those may have been episodes we skipped with Ahsoka on Onderon, but there's a very similar scene to that in Clone Wars.
I mean, after a certain point, I will say it does get kind of ridiculous the number of times when like something bad happened and it severely affected Ben, but it wasn't his fault.
Yeah, right. Like that's kind of where I was going before, where it's just like, yeah, he like stands there and then like people get slaughtered or like. He does something and lots of people die. Like, yeah.
So, yeah. So Hennix is dead. And after this event, even Ty is like, I think you're right, Vo. I think he's lost.
Yeah.
Even though, again, like, yes, he lashed out at Vo, but then he attempted to save her. And then just like an unfortunate side effect occurred. But then he officially joins the Knights of Ren, and he's on a mission with them, and they're threatening people, trying to get information from them, and are basically just killing anyone who won't cooperate, and Ben is like, no, wait, there's another way, which is him using the Jedi mind trick, and again, I just thought that this was so interesting and revealing that like, literally Ren is having a conversation with him, like, what are you doing? You need to realize that the Knights of Ren kill people and you need to kill people. And he's like, no, I don't think so.
We can find this other ways. And then he finds the information and they slaughter everyone around him.
And then I just thought that was interesting too in thinking, and again, we'll talk about this more later, but I just wanted to flag it while I'm thinking about it, is the interrogation scene in The Force Awakens where he doesn't torture Rey. Like, yes, he's invading her mind, which is not great, but he's not physically hurting her. And
although a strong mind could break if they're trying to resist, as we learned from the Jedi interrogation of Cad Bane. So it could very much like it could be very uncomfortable because it was enough for Cad Bane to be like, no, I've had enough of that. So, yeah. Depends how strong the mind is, I guess.
True. But, I mean, clearly, like, Darth Vader, for example, had no reservations about torturing people.
It is true. Yeah. Man, that is interesting. Because, like, Ben spends all this time, like, not being in favor of it, and yet finds himself in situations where it's being used, and yet continues to find himself in situations where it's being used because he's hanging out with the Knights of Ren, who use it, like...
All right, so the other two Jedi show up again, Vo and Ty, again to stop him. I feel like a lot of time has passed.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, and they're still just, like, spending all their time going after Ben.
I know, which makes me feel like they're not, like, well-trained Jedi. I mean, I guess if Master Luke is dead, they portray Luke as, like, the last Jedi. So it's not like they have another, like, Jedi to go hang out with.
Right, and that does actually come up there, too. They find Ben again. Ren asks Ben, who are they? And he says, the past. And...
He has a knack for drama.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Emo.
Also, like, Ren's in the family.
Yeah. It's true.
Like, the Knights of Ren are fighting the people that they were already fighting while Ben is fighting the other two Jedi. And Ty is still kind of trying to reason with him and telling him, you know, we're connected. That's how I found you. And Ben is just like, I wish that we weren't. And this is
classic. Classic connection that no one wants.
So... Again, like, they're fighting, but Ty is still trying to tell him, you don't have to do this, you can still turn around, and Ben just keeps repeatedly saying, like, no, I can't, it's too late, this is my path now, and I'll just pull some quotes from Ty, no, that's wrong, you can just stop.
Yeah.
Turn around, walk the other way, every path goes in two directions. However deep you think you are, I promise you there's deeper yet. It can get worse. You're acting like you don't have control when every yep. single step you take is your own choice.
Yep.
But then Ben's response to that is, choice? I have no choice and never did. Even my name isn't a choice. The dark side and the light both claimed me for their own the moment I was born. Do you know how that feels?
Which really speaks to the fact that, like, how important it is to have that middle ground, like... But, like, Ahsoka walked away. And that was, like, when the Jedi Order was even stronger. Count Dooku walked away.
And I guess you can't underestimate the part that Snoke plays in this. Like,
yeah, or his parents.
Well, he already was feeling disconnected from his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then Snoke steps in and... is trying to portray himself as the only person that really cares about him and wants him to be what he wants to be.
Yeah.
And, like, he is telling him that, you know, Luke never had his best interests in mind, and Luke was always weak, and he never should have put his trust in him. Like, he is just gaslighting him in every way, mm-hmm. and just, like, driving this wedge between him and the people that truly care about him to the point that he feels like, again, he can't go back to them. They don't care about him. They have never had his best interests in mind. Like, I don't, like, he honestly, like, he has been abused.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about it that way. Because all I want to do is just be like, well, don't go, fine, you can't go back to your parents, that's one thing, but, like, there are many, many planets you could go to. Like, it's obvious the Knights of Ren don't really care about you either.
I think he just feels so isolated and feels like no one understands him.
Mm.
And then this happens where Ty is still trying to convince him to change his mind, and he disarms Ty, and he says, kill me if you have to, Ben, or don't. Be the man I know you are. Mm-hmm. Just be. Just be. So he's just telling him, like, just be who you are. It doesn't matter what anyone else is trying to tell you to be or the expectations that anyone has for you. Like, as his friend, Ty knows who Ben is.
Yeah.
He's telling him, just be who you are. Who you are is fine. And going back to what we just talked about with Han, like, the way you are is fine. You're fine. Yeah. But... I feel like Ben can't listen to that or accept it either. But then Ren just snaps Ty's neck.
Yeah.
So now Ty is dead.
So, okay, yes, I can, that's, like, very deeply traumatizing and upsetting, but then why on earth would you name yourself Kylo Ren after the man who killed, the friend you loved?
Because I feel like, from this point, all Ben wants is to be in control. All he wants is to feel like he's in control of his own life and his own destiny. And
I feel like... making very bad decisions.
Right. Yes. Yeah. But I feel like by killing Ren, he feels like he's, like, claiming that power from him and saying, like, you don't have power over me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in your place now.
Yeah.
So he fights with and kills Ren. And this is the moment, essentially, that Ben goes to the dark side.
Yep.
So we get a panel of Palpatine as he's fighting with Ren, saying, now you will be who you are. Mm-hmm. Which maybe this is a good moment to talk about the name as well. So in planning for this episode, I don't know what the title of the episode will actually be, but we're calling this Ben Solo.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I feel like after Rise of Skywalker, I have a hard time referring to him as Kylo Ren. Because I feel like Kylo Ren is, like, his persona. He is not Kylo Ren.
Right.
And maybe people can argue with me about this and be like, no, he is Kylo Ren. I'm not saying it's a different person. Like, I'm not saying they're completely disconnected. But in my opinion, Kylo Ren is 100% a persona and, like, a costume. Like, when he puts that helmet on, it's so he can not be himself.
Yeah. I think that was intentional. So, yeah, I agree with that reading.
And we'll get into this, too, when we talk about Rey.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. But Palpatine is saying this is who he is Kylo Ren. And I feel like that's fundamentally not true. And yeah, that's borne out in the movies, too. Even in The Force Awakens, where there's a scene of him talking to Vader's helmet and saying, I feel it again, the pull to the light. Like, who mm-hmm. he is not the dark side.
No.
It's a struggle for him to be on the dark side. And that, for me, is one of the things that makes him a really compelling character. But, like, he is going against his nature by being Kylo Ren.
Yeah. Yes. Interesting. Yes. I don't know, the impulsivity, that seems... I mean, I guess if we're talking... So, yes, I feel like he is not instinctively, like, he doesn't want to kill people. He doesn't want to hurt people. Yes. I feel like some of the aspects of the dark side that are portrayed in the movies, like the lack of regulation of emotion, the, like, leaning into emotions sort of thing, while also simultaneously avoiding them, that is something Ben seems to struggle with. And, like, the dark side definitely plays that up, that aspect up. But yes.
But it's very interesting, too, because at some point, probably when we get to the redemption episode, I really mm-hmm. want to talk about Ben in relation to Anakin. And Anakin's emotions are portrayed as being a big aspect of his fall to the dark side.
Yes.
But really, it's Ben's emotions that bring him back to the light.
Yeah, I guess I'm just thinking of, like, all the, like, temper tantrums, right?
Yes.
For lack
the
of
temper
a better
tantrums,
word.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I feel like it is his, ultimately, his relationships and his emotions for the people that he cares about that bring him back.
Yes. That is interesting, the juxtaposition between that and then, like, Anakin, his relationships brought him to the dark side.
So speaking of relationships, we get a bunch of little snippets of what other people are feeling or seeing as Ben is fighting Ren and actively falling to the dark side. So you see Palpatine, you do see Snoke separately.
Yes.
Interesting. And then you see Leia.
Oh, God, Leia.
And then, very interestingly, you also see Rey.
Yeah, but not Luke.
Yeah, I don't know what Luke is doing at this point. That's a really good point.
But Luke did say, like, I mean, you know, when Rey visits him, he separated himself off from the Force. So, like, he may have gone into exile and already done that at that point, in theory.
That's true. Good point. But, yeah, so Rise of Skywalker introduces the dyad concept with Rey, which I'm sure we'll talk about more in the future. But I thought it was really cool and interesting that they brought that into this as well. So she was, what, like 13 at this point? She's about 10 years younger. So she's on Jakku with Ankar Plutt. And there's a little
Yeah, what is she doing with him? I was wondering about that.
I think she's just, like, living her life on Jakku. Like, her basically her whole life is just scrapping. And
but they're, like, what are, like, I'm just curious, like, because they're, you know, when we first see him, he's behind, like, a window.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah.
Like, she's selling what she has scavenged to him.
So maybe whatever she found this time is too big to, like, bring in.
Yeah, I don't, it's true. Like, they're not in his window. They're just standing in the desert.
Yeah.
And she says, huh, you feel that? Feels cold. So she senses Ben's fall, which is super interesting.
Yeah.
And that also makes me wonder if they had any other connection to one another before The Force Awakens. And I think there is mention in the novelization for The Force Awakens that Rey has had dreams with Kylo Ren in them, and that she recognizes him. And then there's also that line that he has where they say that, like, a girl is with a droid, and he says, what girl?
Interesting.
So I would love to know more about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So Kylo kills Ren, and then Vo is still there, and she doesn't have her lightsaber, and she says, Ben, you killed him. You killed the Knight's Master, Ren. And he says, of course I did. I'm a murderer, remember? You're not a Jedi, Vo, and you never will be. There's no one left to train you. And then he ignites his lightsaber and kills her and says, why do you even want to live? And I wanted to talk about that line because I feel like that was such a projection.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't feel like that's, like, Vo's, like, Vo doesn't have those same, like, thoughts of self-destruction or, like, self-loathing. Like, you know, she's, her issue is Ben. And, like, it's not like she had a death wish, although she was making very poor decisions. I do feel like that's entirely Ben projecting his feelings onto her and then killing her.
So, first of all, I guess maybe they are still Padawan since he was like, you'll never be a Jedi. But that's kind of besides the point. Like, yeah, I just think there's so much to unpack in that. Like, he tells her she'll never be a Jedi. He'll never be a Jedi. There's no one left to train her. There's no one left to train him. Like, he's totally on his own. And now all of these people that he loves have been separated from him. He feels like permanently.
Mm-hmm.
His friend has been killed. So when he says, why do you even want to live? I feel like he doesn't know, like, where to go from here other than to trust Snoke, I guess.
Yeah. Also, are there Padawans? It's not like Luke was ever a Padawan. Like, did Jedi structure was completely upended. We know he didn't read the ancient tomes. I don't know how much Yoda, like, disclosed to him as a Force ghost, but, like, you know, Luke was kind of maybe muddling along, too.
Yeah. I mean, he had to have been.
A Padawan?
No.
Or muddling along.
Yeah. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So then the last part of The Rise of Kylo Ren is Kylo building his saber. And I also think this is just so interesting. So he takes the kyber crystal out of his saber and bleeds it. And while he's trying to bleed it, he basically sees the faces of everyone that, I guess at this point, he feels like has wronged him. So he sees Luke, Han, Chewbacca.
God damn it, Chewie.
Leia, and Kai. And
apparently Kai. Lando?
Yeah, Lando, like, I don't know what Lando really did to him.
He wasn't there for him enough.
I can't. But it's just, like, so interesting to me. Like, he can't even bleed the kyber crystal correctly. So he bleeds it, like, it turns red, but then his saber is unstable, and that's why he has to put the crossguard on it. And just side note, like, I love his lightsaber. I think it's, like, possibly the coolest lightsaber in Star Wars. It's so unique, and I think it's just such a perfect reflection of his character.
Yeah. Unstable.
Yeah. But, like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe this is just me, like, reading into it too much, and clearly I'm, like, very sympathetic towards Ben, but, like, again, I just feel like he couldn't even, like, bleed it correctly. Like, he thought of all these people, and then it was like, I can't go all the way there, and now my lightsaber is unstable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting. It's like on this, like reading this, I feel simultaneously more and less sympathetic. Like there are aspects of this where I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is so rough. But then there's other aspects. I think my ongoing struggles with people who struggle, just like there's another way.
Well, yeah, because clearly, like Ty said, at any point he could have assessed what he was doing and been like, you know what? I can stop. I can turn around and like call my mom and just talk to her. And we know that Leia would have like told him to come home and maybe he wouldn't have gone so far. But again, he just like has this mental block where he's like, no one wants to see me. Like, again, it's like Han
in
The Force Awakens where everyone's like, you should go see Leia. Just go talk to Leia. And he's like, Leia doesn't want to see me.
Yeah. Exactly. But even, I mean, like, fine, again, like, you don't have to go see your parents. Like, I can understand that's rough, but you could also just, like, go meditate and Tatooine. That would also work.
But again, that's where I feel like Luke is just, like, the other element of this, where, like, yes, he can assess everything himself and be like, maybe I should separate myself from this. Maybe I should go do something else. But then the Snoke is always there.
Right.
Being like, well, no, like, this is what you were meant to do. So, it's just, after I read The Rise of Kylo Ren, my predominant reaction was just to be like, wow, like, this is so tragic. Mm-hmm. Ben's life is just tragedy.
Yeah. Although he could have named Snoke, like, given Snoke a funny name, and then just dismissed him constantly. It's what I do with my inner voice.
And yeah, like, he does obviously have his own free will, and I'm not trying to make excuses for him doing terrible things, which he does. But at the same time, like, especially having read Rise of Kylo Ren, I do have sympathy for him.
Yeah.
And I'm just very glad that he got redeemed in the end, even if it wasn't perfect. That was, like, probably, like, all I truly wanted out of Rise of Skywalker, so I'm glad that we got to see him as truly being Ben Solo.
Yes. It would've been nice to have some speaking lines there, but it's okay. Actions speak louder than words, so yeah.
I think we're gonna just end with a little bit about The Force Awakens, and then we'll leave the rest for future episodes. So, his first scene in The Force Awakens is him landing on Jakku and killing Lor San Tekka, which, again, having read The Rise of Kylo Ren and knowing that he grew up around him and went on all these missions with him, is rough. And we know at that point he hasn't seen or spoken to his family really in years, and he, like,
wait, what?
Yeah,
that's Lor San Tekka.
Yeah,
that's Lor San Tekka.
Yes.
Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah.
What?
When you tell, he's like, oh, look how old you've become.
Wow.
Which I feel like is, I don't know. Again, I just really want to talk about Anakin and Ben, because I feel like that's an Anakin thing to say.
Right? It's such an Anakin thing to say. But also, what? Okay.
Yeah, so he tells Lor San Tekka, you're old, and then he's like, something much worse has happened to you. And then he kills him.
Wow.
And again, thinking back on that scene in Rise of Kylo Ren, so rough.
Yeah, it's just like way harsh.
Way harsh time. Oh my god! That has to be the name of this episode. Way harsh. Then, you know, there's his whole thing about killing the past, which he literally is doing in killing Lor San Tekka. And he just is trying to erase everything that reminds him of being Ben, essentially.
Wow. Okay. I'm still wrapping my head around that. Yes.
But there are cracks showing. Again, I feel it again, the pull to the light that we discussed earlier. And then he meets Rey. And that's what we'll be discussing in our next episode. Before we go, we forgot about this in the Mouse Droid segment, but it's very important to Loya that we
did
this. So Loya, I'll turn it over to you.
So I have to give you credit for this, and also the actual creator of this, because you were the one who introduced it to me. I got a text from you saying, I don't even know what it said. You just forwarded this to me. It was amazing.
So it was a tweet from Charlotte Erdy, who is one of the hosts of Sky Talkers, which is a Star Wars podcast that I absolutely love. She was sharing the link to a video that I was just positive that Loya would enjoy.
And I did. It's called Back to Jakku, Star Wars song by Boyish Good Looks. And I am obsessed. I was listening to it before we got started on this podcast, and I have to say this is like maybe the 10th, 20th time I've listened to this song. It gets me every time, like, come back. And then the Kylo Ren verse is also so good.
Yes, the Kylo Ren verse is amazing.
Love, 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 love.
And as I just Charlotte love- said, iconic.
Yes. Yes, I also love Finn just being like, you know, that was one of the, I love Finn in The Force Awakens, and him being like astonished that anyone wants to go back to Jakku is so good.
So yeah, if you need a mood boost, definitely check that out. Okay, well, that's it for today's show. Our intro and outro music is by Lobo Loco, and our segment break music is by Poddington Bear. As always, you can find us on StarWarsSleepover.com, and if you haven't checked us out there, I definitely recommend you do, because we always have lots of links, and this week we'll have the link to the Back to Jakku song, yes! So obviously you need to get that. We are also on Twitter at SW Sleepover, on Instagram at Star Wars Sleepover, and you can also find me on Twitter at Stelle Lontane. It's StelleLontane. Loya is not on Twitter, but I try to keep her updated. If you like our podcast, please consider subscribing, rating, and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And we really appreciate reviews because they do help others find our podcast. We would also love any ideas for season 2 because we're going to be planning that soon. We will be back next week with our last episode of the season. It's hard to believe, but we are going to be discussing Reylo. Yes, we are fully going there. So get ready. Thanks for listening.
And may the force be with you.